This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop. Thank you all. Appreciate you joining us here for hour number two. Thank you for your patience as we take a little sip of water and recharge. This will be pretty much an open hour, actually. Plenty of talk that we're going to get into. 12:15, Joe Shad will join us in hour number three. At 12:40, Michelle Kaufman will join us here also. Yeah, you know who's another lady that joins us a lot too is Alex Winley. She knows her soccer, man. She is really, really good. That young lady's got a bright future, man. She sounds good too on air, so she's going to be able to do both. She can do all kinds of stuff, not just print, but she's going to have a future on the mic if she wants it. I don't know. I definitely would tell her never, ever get into radio. That's for sure. Okay? No radio, but do your own podcast, do something else. Big O in the Noah Igbinoghami case, I think I disagree. I don't think you draft a first rounder to be a healthy scratch and to play him in spots. I think Greer might have to try to flip him for a draft pick. Flip him for what at this point? You're going to lose. That's like the guy that bought Bitcoin at 65,000 when it was soaring and it drops to 28. And in the middle of the drop, you sell out at 35 or 40, and you lose your ass because you panic. You can't do that. You gotta work with the kid. It's what I think this is what it is. Yeah, of course you don't draft a guy, but they went and signed Jones. They have X. I think that they were thinking, okay, they need an insurance policy, but the problem is you're not giving him the playing time to develop him. And you're just not going to develop him enough in practice. You can do some stuff in practice, but it just doesn't mean anything. It's like watching Ben Simmons. They show you these practice highlights, and he's shooting from 20 feet out and hitting threes and this and that. And then here comes the game, and he's scared shitless to take a shot. Yeah, you got to play him. You got to put him in games. That's the way you get Noah developed, and unfortunately, they don't have the space to play him in a game. I saw somebody on the text saying maybe he's a safety, maybe he is. I don't know. We'll see. I think the idea was to kind of develop him over the next year or two, and then eventually become a replacement for either Byron Jones or X if they trade him for a boatload of picks. But this year, they knew he wasn't ready, so they had no intentions on trading X because they want to win and they want to get to the playoffs this year. Because to them, it's more important to get to the playoffs. I just think it sucks. But here's, you know what's my bigger problem with all of this now? Seriously, here's my biggest problem with all of this right now. The team's 1-0. They beat the Patriots. It had nothing to do with Noah. So why is he such a subject? And why he's such a sore subject right now? Do you have to go out of your way to worry about that right now? It has nothing to do with the game. He can't play. He's not taking over for Byron Jones and X. So what the hell's the problem? You understand? Like bitching and it's the same thing I just said about Manny Diaz. Bitching and complaining about Manny Diaz doesn't do jack shit. And bitching and complaining about Noah right now doesn't do jack shit. Can't play over Jones and can't play over X. He's not a slot guy. You got your slot guy. The team's 1-0. Can we just talk about the Bills? Can we talk about the game? Can we talk about the players that are on the field? You have to worry about the guy that's not on the field? That's the part I don't understand. Are you just bitching to bitch? That's all it is? complaining to fucking complain? You can't enjoy the moment that they're 1-0. We have to find something negative. They won the game. Why isn't Noah playing? Well, dude, he's not starting over the two corners. So what do you want him to do? He doesn't get any playing time to develop. So what do you want him to do? So why complain about him right now? He has nothing. You know when you talk about Noah at the end of the year, you don't talk about Noah after you beat the Patriots on the road, you're 1-0 and you're getting ready for the Bills. He has nothing to do with the Bills game. So why are we going to talk about him? It's more important that Byron Jones plays well. It's more important that X plays and shuts out people. It's more important that Javon Holland develops right now. That's what's more important. It's more important that Nick Needham plays his ass off like he does every week of his life. It's more important that Jalen Phillips plays well. He's playing. Why do you waste your time worrying about Noah because he doesn't play and he has no factor in this game? And it's not like they desperately need him as a gunner. They don't need him. They don't need him at safety right now. They don't need him at corner right now. Now, if people get injured and then you've got to go depend on Noah and he doesn't come through, the door is open to complain. But right now, complaining about Noah does nothing, dude. It's a waste of time. And you might end up looking really stupid, just like the people that were complaining about Gesicki. But at least with Gesicki, guess what, folks? He was playing week after week in his first year while he had a terrible year. That's not Noah. Did Noah get to play 16 games last year? No. He filled in for a couple. That's all he's done. It's almost like this is what I keep telling you about certain fans. They keep living in the past, and they keep worrying about the past, and they keep thinking that the past is going to come up again. And it is amazing to me the amount of texts and complaints that I get about Noah. And it's like it has nothing to do with the game anyway. He can't play. Even if he actually could play a boundary position, he can't play. He would be sitting there and standing there and waiting. Because he doesn't have a spot to start anyways. That's the part that's amazing to me. I'd rather talk about, like I did with Lisa, are you going to get Ahmed more involved in the passing game? How much will Shaheen, who's looked good with Tua, help out now and will drive those damn, you know, safeties crazy now because they have two tight ends now and two big bodies that can catch the pass? Will Fuller, the addition of Will Fuller, we know that the dude's a speedster, that he can take the top off the damn defense. I am so excited about watching Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle on the same field and how Devontae Parker will no longer be the focal point. And now he gets to face against probably a lesser corner now, which Devontae will be able to take advantage of those lesser corners. Why can't we talk about that? Why can't we talk about, hey, when is Eichenberg, who is getting opportunities, when's he going to challenge for a starting job? Oh, he got good play this week. You know, hey, Austin Jackson's back. He's been playing a lot. Let's talk about him. Hey, Hunt was really good in this game this past week. Dieter didn't play bad, actually. If you watch the tape, he actually did a decent job. Why don't we talk about these things? They're 1-0. We can get excited about the Bills game. It's freaking home, dude. And we're worried about a guy that doesn't play. I'm sorry. Some of you are worried about a guy that doesn't play. I don't get it, man. I really don't. You like, there's no happiness in your life? You can't sit back and enjoy the damn moment? So no, let me find something to bitch and complain about because that's my fucking life. That's what I do in life. No matter how good things are going, let me find something to complain about. I hit the lottery. Great. But, dude, I got to fucking drive to Tallahassee. I don't get it, man. After all these years of suffering, we got a coach, we got a front office. They're changing the culture, they're winning, they're only getting better, and all we have to do is try to find some kind of negativity in every goddamn thing. There isn't anything negative. Do you guys understand that? It's a packed stadium. You got your starting quarterback. Why don't we talk about the starting quarterback? You got a team that's undefeated, the only one that's undefeated in the damn division, sitting on top of the division, above everybody else. It's going to be great buzz in the stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. What Stephen Ross has done, and what Tom Garfinkel and Stephen Ross have done to that place, they've made it a palace for you. Man, let's talk about that. No, let's just bitch and complain about a guy that doesn't play. And a guy that doesn't have a spot to play in anyway. It's baffling to me, dude. It just is. It drives me crazy that some of you cannot live in the moment and actually enjoy it. No, I got to find something to complain about because that's just the way it is. Remember, you can reach out to us on the text line, 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. You can also reach out on Twitter at Big O Show. Email Big O Radio Show at yahoo.com. And, of course, Cash App and Venmo, great ways to support us at Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show at Cash App or Venmo, and always appreciate it. Thank you. Giovanni says, tired of people living in the past. We gave every QB since Dan Marino a chance to develop, and we're crucifying Tua. He's only played 10 games, rookie training camp, video chat meetings, and came off major surgery. I know. Tuttle goes, this sounds like a mature middle-aged O talking to a young angry O. Got to look at the negative, too. You'll be the first one to complain when you are let down, Big O. Okay, but let's wait till we're let down. Right? He can't play. You understand that, right? He can't play. There are two guys starting in front of him. He can't play. That's it. He's not a slot guy. That's not his skill set. Sam Madison, Pat Surtain. Pat could play the slot. Sam was not a slot. Understand that. Noah, not a slot. So he's an outside guy. So he can't play anyway. So what's there to complain about right now? So let's wait till he actually plays and screws up. And then we can complain and say, wow, the kid can't develop. But right now, sitting there with his thumb up his ass, what's he doing? Nothing. Can't do anything about it. Complaining is nothing. If you just complain about this, why? Why? They won in New England. They're getting ready for the Bills. The guy has nothing to do with the Bills game. Leave him alone. Get a life. Live in the present. There's a lot of good stuff going on. Right now is not the time to complain. Not about him. Let's talk about Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips has got to get it going, right? Jalen Phillips has got to pick it up. Now, I wanted to talk about this because Jalen Phillips is actually playing. And he's needed this week against the Bills. They drafted him to be a pass rusher, and he's playing. Okay? Now, Jalen Phillips, I want to run, because this is kind of, this goes a little bit with any player out there too. So how many of you right now like how many of you right now like Emmanuel Ogbah? You like him, right? Good player. Any of you out there, text it out to me. You like Emmanuel Ogbah, right? 855-912-1056. You think he's a good player, right? Those of you on the chat board, you think he's a good player, right? So how do you think Kansas City feels about Emmanuel Ogbah? I'm just wondering. What do you think Kansas City? Kansas City, first year, 5.5 sacks. Second year, 4 sacks. Third year, 3 sacks. Fourth year, 5.5 sacks. Did they get their money's worth? Did they get their draft picks worth? Now Miami signs him for a bargain deal, and he gets 9. Did he develop late? Is that what it is? Is he a late bloomer? Because his career has been mediocre. You understand that, right? And yet, he got 9 sacks this year. And let me tell you, last year, and last week, he was pretty good. They held him a couple times. He was right there, man. There were a couple times that he was a hair away from picking up a sack. He played well, actually. I know that he didn't get the sack itself, but he wasn't bad. And I see all the texts. Love Ogbah. Yes, 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 yes. So how would you feel if you drafted Ogbah? And it took him a while to develop. Just wondering. Because it's not you love Ogbah, what you got of Ogbah. You didn't get the first 4 years of Ogbah. So you can then complain. And this is what happens in this league sometimes. Some guys, it takes them a while to develop. They don't figure it out. Sometimes they're in the wrong system. Sometimes the coach doesn't use them properly. Because it's kind of a team thing. You got to be in the right scheme. You've got to do your part, of course. And then your coach has got to put you in a position to be successful. If your coach constantly is screwing up and not putting you in a position to be successful, sometimes it's not your fault. Yet, the media and fans are blaming you because they don't know exactly what the hell's going on. And this happens. And I'm not saying that's what happened in Kansas City because tons of other people are having success in Kansas City. Emmanuel Ogbah was, nothing special for 4 years. So I get it. Jalen Phillips wasn't special in his first game. Let's give him some time. These people are already complaining about Jalen Phillips. They've been complaining about him in the preseason when my boy Gregory Rousseau got a couple of sacks. And it's like, relax. Relax. And I'm not telling you that it's going to take Jalen Phillips 4 or 5 years to develop. I'm just saying sometimes it takes players a little while for that light to go on. But can you imagine Kansas City drafting the kid and he goes 5.5 the first year, which is half decent for a first year. Solid, right? That's not a terrible year for a first-year pass rusher to get to 5 sacks. That's a pretty decent year overall because it's a really difficult position from a young age. But then it went 4 and then 3. So it declined. How do you think they were doing in Kansas City with Emmanuel Ogbah? Do you think they were happy? And then he ends up with 5.5 on a contract year. And then he ends up getting a big contract year. I mean, I'm sorry. He got not a big contract. He's working for a big contract. Then he got a contract here that was, $7 million contract is what you give a 5-sack guy. That's what it is. A 5-6 guy, 5-6, maybe 7-sack guy. That's what you're going to give him. And he's developed here. The light's gone on. We have to be patient, ladies and gentlemen. It just doesn't happen overnight for every single player. And I wanted to use Emmanuel Ogbah because it's a player that a lot of you have fallen in love with, including yours truly. I like what I see from the guy. I think it's been a steal of a free agent signing by Chris Greer. And the two-year deal thing is so smart because it protects your ass as a team. Like, if he sucks that first year, you can cut him. And that second year, there was really no cap hit, and you can move on from it. First year, he was awesome. Now you own him for the second year, and he has to bring it again if he wants to get that contract from you. Makes a lot of sense. You don't lose the player, and you can control the player at the same time. I just kind of find it funny that, you know, we don't take everything into perspective and we overreact about stuff. Kind of like the whole Noah Igbinoghamy thing. Kid doesn't play, has very little chance to develop in real games. Really doesn't have a slot to play in right now as it is. And even if he was just, can you imagine? Because some of you might say, well, oh, maybe he can help on special teams as a gunner. Okay, so let's say he makes it as a gunner. Everybody would still be complaining. Wait a minute, they drafted a first-round flyer? How does that make any sense, right? In the end, until he becomes a cornerback, nobody will be happy. Well, he can't become a cornerback on this team right now. They've got two guys in Jones and X, and he's got to be better than those guys. That takes a lot. But no, let's bitch and complain. Let's just go crazy about it. Something that has nothing to do with the game, nothing to do with this week's game, but let's just distract ourselves and talk about something that really is irrelevant, actually. That's what it is. It's irrelevant. Like I said yesterday, maybe they overdrafted. Maybe they're planning, and right now it's overdrafting. Now, if they trade X next year, then maybe now Noah spotlight on him. Yo, got to improve right now. And then the heat is on the kid. Video game and fantasy football has put analytics and numbers on everyone, and it's not for the better. People understand these are kids that grow. Most of them are in their young 20s. Where were you at 22? Yeah, I was pretty lost. I definitely was. Big O, so during the game, under important situations, do they play 100% snap? Huh? Michael, I didn't understand that question. I'm sorry, my brother. Big O, do you think Jalen needs to get stronger? He's got the speed. Drago, every player that comes out of college needs to get stronger for the NFL. Every single player. Every player will work on their bodies when they come from college, dude. They're playing with grown-ass men, and these guys are not fully developed yet. So that doesn't – the position doesn't matter. All of them got to get stronger, dude. So yeah, sure. Jalen Waddle's got to get probably a little tougher, a little thicker, maybe. You know, you don't want too much because you want your flexibility and you want to keep your speed. But yeah, he will work that weight room. Look at Tyler Johnson. And basketball's no different. They all got to beef up a little bit. You're playing against men now. These men have, you know, 8 girlfriends and 10 houses and 15 cars, and they got a lot of things they got to pay. Big O, Phillips just a rookie and yet double-teamed him during the game. Did you see it? Yes. Yes. But I saw him also on one-on-ones, and I saw him also in the second half start to kind of show a little bit more and a little bit more. So Phillips, Let's give him some time, okay? Big O, do you expect we are going to have a stronger rushing attack this week, or do you expect more of a passing attack or a balance of both? Rosendo, I think they will attempt to have a rushing attack because you need to have some success on the ground to keep Josh Allen off the field. You have to do that, dude. You have to try to punish them and wear them down in the heat also. That's the other key thing that you want to do. Good morning, Big O. A lifelong fan here in Arizona. Sometimes luck favors the prepared. That's right. Ask Belichick with Brady in the sixth round. Big O, why do they play on artificial turf in Buffalo? Is it to keep the cheerleaders from grazing after the game? Let's see. Need one to grow on. Oh, okay. Big O, let's admit this. The coaching staff finally gets it. We can finally relax. Thank you, Flo and Greer. I agree with that more life. I think they do get it. Remember, it took DVP a few years too. Well, he's also got been injured. That's kind of been that's really what's held back. What held back Devontae Parker from everything and still holds him back is injuries. His body just it wasn't made for this game, unfortunately, for Devontae. Buffalo is among the ugliest cities I've ever been to in my life. Just wow. That's what Diane Mayer says. Diane dropping the hard news. Wayne in UK says, Miles Gaskin, 100 yards this week, Tua, 250 yards, and touchdowns. We got this. Watch the RPO running game up the middle. The Buffalo defense is weak up the middle. Well, they should be able to run some this week. Let's hope so. Let's hope that they get some kind of a running game going this week. I don't think they'll be shut down by these guys, but I think that they should have some kind of success. What I want to see is the backs catching more passes is what I want to see coming out of the backfield. And I'd like for them to use Gaskin and Ahmed in that role. Make those linebackers work. That's what I would like to do. But it's just, you know, it's funny to me how that's why I wanted to talk about the Ogbuss situation. That, you know, it is what it is. All right. Remember, 855-912-1056 if you want to get in on the text line. That's 855-912-1056. Of course, got the YouTube chat board where you can reach out to us here on the YouTube chat board. Email BigORadioShow@yahoo.com and also on Twitter, Big O Show. And please smash the hell out of that like button. It is really important that you smash the like button, man. Incredibly important that you smash that like button. It really will help us out. And share the links to the podcast, to YouTube, so we can get more people on board. And remember, Cash App and Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Big O, the best part of the final drive of the last game was Tua's audible out of a run and a play to call the slant throw to Parker to get the first down. So they have the confidence in him to start calling his own shots. It's clear he's reading the defense good. He can read defenses. I'm not worried about that. And it looks what I want to know is it more of a check with me system where he has either a run or a pass that he can change? Or does he have autonomy with the whole playbook and he can completely change things? Change the coverages up front, change the formation, all of those things. That if he sees something, can he completely change it all? That looked to me like it was a check with me system where if you don't like the run, you go to this is your pass play that you have set in if you don't like this run. That's what I have a feeling that that's kind of what it is, a check with me system. And then his response to it was, yeah, we didn't want to give them the ball back, is what he said to that, which I thought that was good. At 10:55, I'm getting laughing faces from one of the texters. Okay, I don't know what that means. What else? Oh, what do you think, Will Fuller, is he... What do you think Fuller is going to bring to the game Sunday? Speed, baby. I feel the need for speed. That's what it is. That's what's going to bring it to the table and open it up. With him and Waddle, that's going to drive the free safety crazy. I'd send those guys up all the time and free up the middle of the field for Gesicki and Parker to do all kinds of damage in this game. And I can have a back coming out of the backfield and run shallow crossing routes. You can do all kinds of little things like that. You're going to free up the middle of the field now with Fuller and Waddle taking people out of the mix. Just send those guys. Whew. And remember, they're not going to get jammed at the line. These are the kind of guys that get free off the line quickly, and they go. They go. So, yeah. Big O, I know you will say no, but when Joe leaves, will you get the call because you're what you're building now? No, sir. It doesn't matter if – I don't think you understand this. Do you want this format to continue? I can't do this on radio. You do know that, right? A couple breaks in an hour, maybe 3-4 minutes of commercial breaks in 1 hour. I can drop an F-bomb every once in a while. I can drop an S-bomb every once in a while. You know what I mean? I'm not going to harp on the same subject for 3 hours. I'm not going to do that. I can't do what I do now. You don't really want me to go back to QAM, actually. You understand that. And by the way, why are you still listening to radio? I don't get it. You know, appreciate Joe. Joe's excellent. But once Joe leaves, that station will be closed down. I've already told you that. That station will switch formats. They are losing their ass running two sports stations, and they don't have the personnel for one sports station. They don't have the money. They keep making cuts. I'm telling you, I believe they'll file Chapter 11 in 2022 also as a company. So I have no interest on going back to radio ever again. The only thing I would do for fun is a rock DJ. That's the only thing that I would do on an FM station. And even that said, by now, you can't really be a real rock DJ because you'll have some program director telling you all the songs you've got to play. And it's the same 200 songs that they play all day long. Right? That's it. They're not going to play Dire Maker from Led Zeppelin. No, 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 no. It's got to be Stairway to Heaven and Black Dog. And you'll repeat those two songs 87 times over and over again. You know what I mean? So it's just, it is what it is. What are you going to do, man? This format, you can't get anywhere. What I'm doing now, nobody's doing locally. Not even close. And we've got all our insiders. We're going to add more. We're not done yet. I don't really, for those of you that, you know, and there's a ton of people now downloading the show. Thank you all out there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're averaging over 1.1 million downloads in the last 30 days. I mean, the number just keeps going up. Why would anybody want me to go to radio now? And why would I want to go to radio now? Doesn't make any sense. We can build up our sponsorships from here. We can make a good living and survive finally. And Sean, hopefully, same thing. As long as Sean and I can, you know, make a good living from this and feed our families, we're fine. You know, and that's what we're working for. And we don't have to deal with the corporate bullshit, which I can't say over there. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I can't work for an idiot that I forgot more radio than he did. Or than he knows. I'm sorry. That's the other thing. I'm just tired of it, dude. I tried it. I've tried, you know, going the corporate route and all that. But all I'm doing is giving my work to them. And why should I do that? Plus, I feel like listeners enjoy this more than anything else. At least that's what I'm feeling. I've never had these kind of numbers. Not at QAM, okay? Not at 640, not at Onside Radio. Where I'm out downloading the entire station by miles every single day. It just, obviously, there's a response. A lot of people love this kind of format better than, you know, the normal formats that are out there. So, yeah, my brother, I don't think I would ever go back ever again to QAM. I would do Mad Dog. That I, you know, maybe I could fill in over at Mad Dog or do something. That might be a possibility. But you'll never catch me again on local radio. I'm done with that, man. I'm done with those companies. Alex says, yes, we actually get to talk to you better on here. What happened with you on Onside? There was no commitment, brother. That's all. It ended. It's over. So it is what it is. You move on, and you can, you know, I try to revive it, but I have to find the right owners. If I don't have people that will bring, you know, real help with me, I can't do everything by myself, man. Not even on this show I can do everything by myself. I slowly but surely have to build it up and get, you know, and get the sponsorships I need in order to have certain employees and do the things I want to do. Because remember, they're not. You go to those kind of places, they're not going to pay for me to go to the East-West Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl and all. I had to pay on my own for that kind of stuff. The only person that helped me out was Joe Bell. No one else has ever helped me out on radio. Every other GM that we had, they were like, oh, we don't have the money. And it's like, do you know that people like that kind of coverage and they want to know about the draft? Like, the draft is pretty, oh, well, it's not in our budget. Well, then get the sponsors so you can create it. And no, they're too lazy. So, like I'm telling you, here, I want to go to the East-West. I want to go to the Senior Bowl. I want to go to the Combine like I've done for over 20 years. I want to go to the Vegas Summer League in basketball. I want to do those kind of things that you just don't have normal shows do. And if our teams go to playoffs and Super Bowls and World Series and those kind of things, I want our show to be there. I want to do all those kind of things that they don't do locally anymore. And they don't care to do locally anymore. I want to connect with all of you out there. Something they don't care about either. So trust me, you don't want me to go back to regular radio. Plus, I don't need the hassles. Because the one thing that I've never done when I've been in local radio is, bro, I don't toe the company line. That's not me. That's never been me. That will never be me. I don't do it. And that's a lot. And that's a pain in the ass. Some of you have met me over the years. And many of you have always, you know, almost every time I get somebody says, hey, oh, I love your honesty. I love that you don't hold back. Many times I've told you, if any of you have ever met me, I told you it's not the best. It's not the best approach, I want you to know, because being honest is not something that they want. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry. What are you going to do? I'm going to be honest if I screw up. And so I'm going to be honest when anybody else screws up. I have to. You know, I know I'm as defective as anybody else out there. So I'm susceptible to making all kinds of mistakes. And I'll tell you, hey, man, I screwed up. It's me. My fault, man. I apologize. I need to correct it. I need to get better from it. So you think I'm not going to point out somebody else and you think they want that? Because they've got partnerships. Yeah, I'm done. Big O, what platform you use to buy Miami Coin? Oh, I... Don't buy it now. I'll tell you. Okay? And I'm not going to I want to check right now. Holy shit. I got it at 1-1 and it's at 4 cents. I've tripled my investment. Oh, there we go. And you got to go to OK Coin, okay, to get it. That's the only place that sells Miami Coin, OK Coin. They have Bitcoin, Ethereum, Stacks, Avalanche, Algorand, Polkadot, Tether, DAI, USDC Coin, EOS, Tron, Smooth Love Potion, never heard of that, Axie Infinity, Wrapped Bitcoin, SushiSwap, Stellar, Solana, Polygon, Miami Coin, Tezos, Cosmos, Cardano, Aave, Near Protocol, Dogecoin, CeeLo, Maker DAO, Synthetics, CeeLo. Well, the first CeeLo is CeeLo Dollar, and now CeeLo. Uniwrap, Hedra, Hashgraph, Yearn Finance, Compound, Chainlink, USDK, and Litecoin. Now, I told you this yesterday, and I'll tell you again. No, I told you on Tuesday. Do not buy anything that's gone parabolic. And I got it at one. It came out and it went to 5.8 cents. It dropped down. Never buy anything when it debuts. Never. I'm telling you, it's rare that something debuts and then continues to climb. It's so rare. It debuts and it drops. So I waited for the drop and it dropped to 1.1 cent. I said, you know what? I'll get in now. And I did it just for supportive purposes. And now it's gone up to 4 cents. So you want to buy it at 4 cents? You can go ahead and buy it at 4 cents. And fine. But I'm just telling you, folks, you do what you want. I'm not a financial advisor. I just love crypto. I study it as much as possible. And let me tell you, the tokenomics of the Miami coin, very questionable. Okay? I don't know if, you know, it's a great investment. I threw a few bucks in there for the hell of it. I'm a hardcore crypto guy, so I want to be supportive of our city and our mayor for trying to help us out in crypto, so I wanted to do my part. And right now I'm getting lucky that I've tripled my money already at this point, and I can sell it. I'm not even going to sell it. I'm not. But I could if I wanted to. So I'm just saying. So, do you think QAM fired you for being too honest and not towing the... Oh, of course, dude. Yeah. It ain't going to be for lack of production. Okay? It's not because I don't have the skills to do this job. I mean, I'm sorry if I got to lay the ego down on the table, but I don't think there's a lot of people in town that can do what I do. Period. End of story. Okay? Especially I drive the show by myself. Most people can't even... No, I'm just going to say almost everybody in radio, sports radio locally, can't do what I do. Not even close. So it's not a lack of production. It's not a lack of sponsorships. It's not a lack of traffic. Obviously, look what you guys are doing for this show. What do you think it is? You know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely, man. It's just, it's who I am. But I'm not changing my ways, man. I get it. Most people have to toe the company line. They got to kiss ass. This is their job. And they probably can't do what I'm doing right now, standing on my own two feet. But thank the Lord, I'm blessed that I have all of you out there being so amazing in the way you support us. And please smash the hell out of the like button. Please, please, please. That I can do this on my own. 5-10 years ago, I probably couldn't. So, Troy, hell yeah, it's about me being brutally honest. Yeah. Ask the people that were at the Vontae Davis draft. So we're at the Vontae Davis draft, and we're in Dolphin Stadium with the Dolphin officials all there back in the day. And so, you know, the station obviously partnered or whatever. And I'm sitting there with the late, great Jim Mandich, Joe Rose, and Jimmy Cephalo. And he gets drafted, Vontae Davis. And obviously all the guys, hey, great, this, that, dot, dot, dot. And then I come out and say, hey, the kid can play, but he's got maturity issues. And I got booed by 2,000 Dolphin fans. Or maybe 1,800, maybe 200 of you didn't. Any of you out there were there that day? Is anybody truly there live? Because I got to figure, out of all the people that are chatting right now, there's got to be one of you was there that day. At least one. If those of you that are downloading the show, There's a ton of people downloading the show. I'm sure several of you were there that day, and you remember it. And because I said the truth, I got ridiculed by one host. I held back from going after him right there and then because Josh Darrow and Duff, was it Josh Darrow and Joe Bell or Josh Darrow and Joe and Duff Lindsay? I forgot which combination was standing right by there. And they looked at me and they looked at me with this face like, please, oh, please hold back. Don't go at him. And I didn't. And I let him try to embarrass me. Deep down inside, he couldn't embarrass me because I work for a living. I actually talk to pro scouts, people that like cover this business for a living. And they told me about his immaturity in Illinois. And they told me that he would tell the coaches, I'm playing for Sundays, not Saturdays. And I also found out that his brother gave him $50,000 to start the year because Vernon had been drafted by San Francisco. And back in those days, remember the big signing bonuses and the big money that they would give you up front to those rookies? So Vernon Davis got this enormous contract. And he gave Vontae $50,000 to start his final year at Illinois. And Vontae was just partying like a rock star. So I knew about all this stuff. And I said, hey, man, he can play. He's got talent, but he's got maturity issues. And sure enough, what showed its head? He could play, but he had mature. I effing nailed it, dude. Now, people, you know, there's the hardcore Dolphin fan that doesn't want to hear me tell you the truth. No. He wants me to wear the pom-poms every day and tell you everything's going to be all right and this and that. That's not who I am. Okay. Plus, I put work into it, which is something that nobody else on that table could do, right? And they weren't willing to also, even if they unearthed that information, they weren't going to say it publicly. But yours truly does. And so the Dolphin brass was like, they were pissed, all that kind of stuff. But the beauty of Josh Darrow, the beauty of Duff Lindsay, the beauty of Greg Reed, who I love those people, they let me be me. Okay? Joe Bell allowed me to be me. But once CBS took over and Intercom after that, those were just complete pussy-ass organizations. That's all. They were just complete wussies. Wimps, Waldos. I'm nervous, and my socks are too. So, you know, they were terrible. I mean, terrible, terrible, terrible organizations. And that's why they've been destroyed as radio stations all over the country because of that kind of move. But see, that's what I loved about back in the early days. The word we love to use here, compartmentalize. They would tell the teams, hey, you guys are about the games. He's a reporter. He gets his information. If it's his information, he's reporting it. That's objective information. That's up to him. Whether you agree with it or not, that's another situation. But you think the Dolphin brass wanted to hear me say, yeah, he can play, but he's got maturity issues? No. You think maybe, you know, one guy specifically on the table wanted me to say something? No. And then, of course, I have the blind-ass fan, the blind-ass Dolphin fan, right?
Blind-ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind-ass fan coming through.
No, you know, that Dolphin wants me to tell you that Vontae Davis is the next Pat Surtain. Great player, great human being. I can't. Well, actually, Vontae wasn't a bad human being. Vontae was just an immature kid, is what it is. So let's separate the two here, okay? Because Vontae's not a criminal, not a bad dude. He was just immature. That's it. And immaturity. Guess what? We're all immature. We all have to mature at one point in our lives. Vontae was not ready to mature at that time. That's all. And I called it. 1,000% I called it. You think that they were happy with that? At that moment, I'm a dick, right? I'm a jerk. I'm this, I'm that. I remember when I was leaving, right, out of the, and I had to walk through the crowd. There were only a couple guys there, like, hey, oh, hey, great job, man. Appreciate it. And then there were a couple guys, come on, oh, why you got to be like that? I'm like, what do I got to be like what? Like doing my job, and you want me to tell you the truth? You want me to tell you what NFL people are doing when they're scouting the kid and what the book is on them? You don't want me to tell you that? Fine, I won't tell you that. Sorry. I won't tell you that Ray Malaluga was a functioning alcoholic. That's all. Why would I tell you that? I mean, you know, when he's coming out of USC, I got people telling me, yeah, no, he's got issues, a functioning alcoholic, and he ends up in Cincinnati. And then years later, you watch him here, and then has the alcohol issues gone away? No. So it is what it is. Big O, you were allowed to be you because Neil Rogers paved the way. Let's give credit to who the radio station cashed in on because the ratings came in high for Uncle Neil, the first shock jock. Yeah, but no, it's not. Tremolio, you have to understand, dude, whether it's Howard Cosell, whether it's Neil Rogers, whether it's Hank Goldberg, whether it's Jim Mandich, because Jim Mandich in the middle of the broadcast will say, this performance has the smell of cow manure or whatever, right? How many play-by-play, how many color guys are going to be that colorful? You know what I'm saying? There's a stench of cow manure over this Dolphin performance today. I'm paraphrasing, but Mad Dog would say that. You know what I mean? Will Allen got beaten like a cigar store mannequin. You know, that kind of stuff that Mad Dog would say. You know, it's a different era. It's just not Neil Rogers, my brother. It was Howard Cosell. It was all these people. And it was a way of the world. We can't be honest anymore. Now we have to be PC. We have to worry about hurting people's feelings. It's Red Fox, my brother. It's Archie Bunker. It's George Jefferson. These are the people that can no longer be on the air anymore. You can't have the Neil Rogers show anymore. You can't have Don Rickles doing his thing anymore. That's the difference. Mel Brooks cannot make the movies he used to make. We used to be able to handle the truth about ourselves. We used to be able to make fun of our deficiencies as people, as cultures, those kind of things. Now, we can no longer do that anymore. Now, you hurt somebody's feelings every effing time. And so all of these corporations now, they fear everything. The other day, one of you were asking me, well, the Bills, why are they doing this whole you must be vaccinated stuff or take the vaccine or whatever, show proof of it or whatever. What about the players? And I said, well, the players aren't in the stands. And they're not going to sue the league. There's a players union and all of that. But the Bills are doing the smart thing. They're doing the corporate thing. They're going to start creating what they feel is a safer environment. Why? So they don't open themselves up for lawsuits. They may not be all, you know, vaccine crazy there with the Bills organization, but they're looking around going, well, what about if some idiot comes in that's sick? We allow him in and he starts coughing on people and then we get somebody sick and then they die or they get bedridden and we get sued because we allowed somebody in that we didn't test them and we didn't make them show us a vaccination card. And then he kind of backed off. That's this world, my brother. So it's not just Neil. It's the culture of our society. We have completely changed. We are a different culture now. And we are an incredibly sensitive culture now. So that's what it is. I used to be able on radio to tell you what I felt. Now I have to do it here without a corporate umbrella over me worried about it. I don't insult any culture, and I don't insult any sexuality, and I don't insult any race and any religion or any of that, but I tell you what it is and what's going on in the world and in football and in sports and you name it. I never crossed that line that, you know, I can have some fun. But, like, let's say Nicki Minaj. I can have fun with Nicki Minaj, right? First she tweets out that her cousin's friends, nephew, fellow, whatever, took the vaccine, got blue balls, and now is impotent. And then the guy that's in charge of Trinidad and Tobago said no such case exists. Nicki is a liar. And then Nicki says, I was invited to the White House. And then the White House says, no. So get ready, folks. Nicki's nose is going to grow as big as her ass. There you go. All right. Let's see. How would they get sued? LOL, tickets have entered at will when buying them. Well, they entered at will, but they didn't expect somebody to cough on them and give them COVID. I get it, Ryan, dude. You're an anti-vaxxer and all that. I've already seen your shtick the entire time, bro. We're spinning wheels, you and me, bro. Okay? Good. You're on one end. I'm on the other. It's over. All right? Conversation done. Let's see. Tuttle says, QAM was very good back in the day when Neil, Mad Dog, Hank, Big O, and Eddie K from the GA was on. That's it. That's when radio was radio. Now, it's just, you know, the garbage you got, the minefield that you've got to walk and stay away from. Big O, stay on here, man. Terrestrial radio is dead. I'm not going anywhere, bro. You guys have spoken, okay? You have spoken. You are providing the platform. Well, we created the platform. You are providing the support that allows this to grow and grow bigger and bigger and bigger and give you. And obviously, this is what you want because we're getting more and more listeners and more and more listeners. Jack Enrod says WIOD was a juggernaut. Hell yeah, dude! You're talking about Phil Henry and Neil and Rick and Suds and there's one more. I'm missing somebody, right? Right? I'm missing somebody. Neil, Rick and Suds, Phil Henry. Because Phil Henry at night was, God, he was so good. He's still on. He still does his stuff. But Phil Henry may be one of the most talented radio people in the history of radio, period. I'm telling you, he is a freaking awesome stud. But yeah, you're right. The IOD was, wow, dude, that was fun talk. That was fun talk. That wasn't sports talk. That was all general life, everything. They'd squeeze in some sports and all that because Neil was always a sports fan. And Rick and Suds didn't do it as much. But, yeah, that's when radio was radio, man, back in the day. Yeah, I'm with you. Big O, for my fantasy tight end, should I start Rob Gronkowski or Mike Gesicki? It's a great question, my brother. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm going to go with Gronk only because he looked really good in week one. So I probably would start him and wait until Gesicki gets it going and wait until Gronk kind of wears down as the year goes on because he is an older player. But probably go with Gronk. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, the dude scored 2 touchdowns and he just looked super comfortable. Oh, not sure what your opinion is on Dan Le Batard. Haven't been listening long enough to know, but it's interesting to me to see how many people are going solo, including him, see this trend continue. Well, first of all, Dan is not solo. Okay? There's like 87 people on that show. Solo is this, dude. Solo is this when you carry the entire conversation yourself. That's solo. Nobody does this. Not Dan either. Okay, Dan did that long, long, long time ago when he first started on ESPN. Before this whole Dan Le Batard and everybody else that they've got on that show, and they do a great job. Their show is a riot and all that stuff. And it's not necessarily hardcore sports talk, obviously. But when they do some sports, they do a really good job overall getting to whatever subjects and stuff like that. But he's not solo. Okay? Not even – you there are times he barely talks on that show. At least that's what I've – well, that's what I've run into. Not sure, but don't call it solo, please. Don't ever call it solo. He is the farthest from solo that exists in radio, actually. He is not even close. Joe Rose is more solo, and he's not solo because he's got Zach by his side, and obviously the producer does a lot of talking too. Solo is – this is solo. That's different. But, yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. The show went on its own and separated from ESPN and the best thing that he did. But he's not solo. Big O should have Phil Henry and Brad the Booger on for Buffalo Week. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's start off our number three right here on the program.